Let's turn together in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. We're also going to be looking in the Catechism at question and answer 19. Just the question and answer 19 as we looked at the previous question and answers last Sunday. First, let's read from Hebrews chapter 1 where we find our text. Hebrews 1, we'll be reading the first four verses. And as we read from Hebrews 1, we remember that today we're going to be looking at the gospel and where the gospel is found and what the content of the gospel is. So we're going to read about where God has revealed himself here in Hebrews chapter 1, the first four verses that's found on page 1161. Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. And it's particularly what we find in verses 1 and 2, that God spoke to our forefathers, the prophets, many times and in various ways. But in last days, God speaks to us by way of his Son. Now let's turn in the back of our songbooks to Lord's Day 6. You will remember that we are now in the second section of the Catechism, dealing with our deliverance, how we are saved by Jesus Christ, set free from sin and delivered from death with Lord's Day 6. The first couple questions and answers, we dealt with the fact that he is a true and righteous man, but he must also be more than a man. And then question and answer 18 says, who is this mediator who is at the same time a true and righteous man and true God? And the answer is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is given to us. And then we come to question and answer 19. And that's the focus this evening is question and answer 19. The question is, how do you come to know this? In other words, how do you come to know that Jesus is this mediator? And the answer is this: the Holy Gospel tells me. God himself began to reveal the gospel already in paradise. Later, he proclaimed it by the holy patriarchs and prophets and foreshadowed it by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law. And finally, he fulfilled it through his own beloved Son. And that's as far as reading in the Catechism this evening. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you came to church this evening, what were your expectations? More specifically, what do you expect to take place? What is the focus of the reasoning behind that you come to church? Well, knowing what to expect and what you want to see take place at church helps us keep priorities central. You might even know on our bulletin here, it says where the Word of God is central. When we come to church, we come here to hear the Word of God, to hear the good news, which is the focus of today's sermon. When Paul was giving his farewell discourse to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, Paul said to Timothy, as you depart in your work as a pastor, he says to Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Fulfill your ministry. Be ready in season and out of season of all the things that you might do as a pastor, Timothy. Preach the word. If it is true, as 2 Timothy says, that all scripture is God-breathed and it's useful for equipping and training and preparing us for the work that God has called us to, then we as God's people will be dedicated, will have a focus on the necessity for the word. And even as Jesus said in Matthew 28, as he had received all authority and power, he sends his disciples out. He sends his disciples into the world, go into the world, make disciples, and teach them. Teach them so that they might understand and that they might believe. So the church is called to gather together on the Lord's Day, and the focus, the central aspect of our worship service is the preaching of the Word. So the question is this, what is the content of the preached Word? Well, today we are going to answer this question as we consider the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be looking at this theme, that Jesus Christ reveals the good news for the comfort of the lost. I'll say that one more time. Jesus Christ reveals the good news for the comfort of the lost. Now, children, let me ask you this question. Do you believe everyone? Do you believe everything that you hear? Well, I sure hope you don't. I sure hope that as you grow and mature, that you learn discernment, because there are bad guides. There are wrong teachings that are prevalent in our world today. But there is one trustworthy guide that will never lead you astray, whose teaching is always reliable and always true. And that teacher is Jesus Christ, who speaks to us by His Word. As we come to our first point, then, we are going to be considering the scope or the extent of the gospel. If someone were to ask you the question, where is the gospel found in the Bible, what would you say? Show me a passage in the Bible that reveals the gospel. Or even I can ask it this way, children. If someone were to ask you, children, I want you to explain, to summarize the Bible for me in one sentence. Could you do it? Could you summarize all 66 books in one sentence, summarizing the whole in one compact message? Well, children, if you pay close attention, in our second point, you're going to hear just that. A one-sentence summary which explains the meaning, the focus of the entire Bible from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. Today we are looking at the word gospel. And the word gospel simply means good news or joyful message. So where is the gospel found? If the gospel is good news and you're reading your Bible, where will you find the good news? Well, our question and answer 19 sets before us the fact that the gospel is revealed not just in a few select passages and a few sermons that Jesus spoke in the New Testament. It is found already in the Old Testament. It is found on every page of Scripture. The good news, the grace, the gospel, known in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. This gospel is revealed in various ages to various people at various times. There is definitely an unfolding, a fuller expansion and understanding of what the gospel is and who the gospel is speaking about. But the gospel is found in the entire Bible. It was heard by many people, from Adam and Eve, who heard the good news in the garden of a child that will be born who will crush the head of the serpent, to the patriarchs, men like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who heard the promise of land and descendants, a child that will come and bless the nations from their seed, to the prophets who foretold of healing and restoration and reconciliation, as we saw this morning, to the apostles in the New Testament who testified as faithful witnesses concerning everything that Christ did and taught. Our passage from Hebrews 1 puts it this way. In times past, God spoke in various ways, in various places, and it started a long time ago. From the Garden of Eden as a location, to the island of Patmos, from Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation 22, from the books of Moses to the Apostle John, the Bible as a whole contains the gospel. But the question before us is this: does God still speak today? If the Bible contains the gospel, which is good news from God to His people, does God still have something to say to us today? And this is where we have a dramatic shift or separation in understanding from the majority of people on the face of this world. If you will ask your neighbor, an unbelieving neighbor, if God still speaks, if his word, if his voice can still be heard today, most people, the majority of people will say, no, God does not speak. In fact, they will say God never spoke. If you look at the heavens, if you bend your ear, you will hear nothing but silence, crickets. God does not speak. Indeed, I believe it was one of the first Russian cosmonauts. As he went into the outer space, he said, I looked up and I listened, and I saw and I heard nothing. People do not think that God speaks today. Many have wanted to know what God has to say, and they look all over this world looking for some special revelation from God. But we need to remember that God speaks today and continues to speak today by way of his word. Romans 10 puts it this way. God's word is the voice of God. In the word, we hear him in whom we have believed. That's Romans chapter 10. In the Bible, we hear the voice of him in whom we have believed. That means that our faith is in Jesus Christ, and as we read the scriptures, we are hearing the voice of Jesus Christ. So if we are desirous, if we want to hear the voice of God, if we want to hear his good news message, then we need to go to the place that God has said, there I can be found, here you can receive my word. The Bible contains what we need to know for our salvation. It's the voice of our God, so we look to his word, and it's in his word, as 2 Timothy 3 says, that we find instruction, that we find leading, we find correction, and we even find rebuke, because all scripture is God-breathed. Or Hebrews 4 verse 12 puts it this way, the word of God is living and active. The word of God is not a dead letter. This book is not closed to sit dusty on your shelves, and it is not closed in the sense of it has nothing to say to us today. It is living. It is active. It continues to produce an effect, and God continues to speak to us through this word even this day. Throughout the past, God has spoken in various manners, various ways. Getting back to our question and answer, in the past, God chose to speak directly to his people. He spoke by visions and dreams, sometimes miracles and signs. Throughout the Old Testament, God spoke the gospel by way of pictures, using sacrifices and ceremonies. All of these things were ways in which God was revealing, God was speaking the good news to his people. But as Hebrews 1 verse 2 concludes, in these last days, in the days in which you and I live, God speaks to us by way of his Son. And as we read in Hebrews, or as we heard from Romans 10, the voice of the Son is heard in the Word. So the way in which you and I hear the voice of God today is not in dreams and not in visions. It's not in ceremonies or sacrifices, not in theophanies where we expect God to show himself in a whirling of fire or whirlwind. But God says, in the last days, I speak to you, my people, by way of my Son, and my Son speaks through the Word. The Word is the voice of God to us. This central truth has been revealed at various times and in various ways, but now comes into full focus. Now, children, have you ever seen one of those picture collages? You sometimes see them in some church entrance areas. If you get really close to the picture, you see all these small little pictures of all the different families of that congregation. And then you see that you have all these individuals, very small. But when you take a step back and you look at the picture of a whole, then another picture comes into focus. Maybe the picture of the church building or something like that. I think Oakland has something like that in their entranceway. This picture collage aspect helps us understand when you read through the scriptures, you find all these small pictures, these isolated moments that are sometimes hard to see how it fits in the big of redemptive history, the movement of God throughout history. But when you take a step back and you look at all of these pictures, when you look at how a Genesis and the imagery of the garden is woven together with the imagery in the book of Revelation, you take all these things together. What we have in Scripture is when you take a step back and you look at the collage in its full, in its full extent, the picture that comes into view is that of Jesus Christ. That's why I read earlier from Luke 24, where Jesus Christ, in rising from the dead, remember, he laid down his life, right? He was crucified on the cross. The third day he rose again, and then he spent those days showing himself to his disciples, giving convincing proofs. And the disciples couldn't believe it. Jesus said, "Look at my hands, and give me a piece of fish. I'll eat this piece of fish to prove that he had really risen from the dead." And then he opened their minds. He gave them a sermon which explained the connection of the entirety of the Old Testament. Jesus says this word: everything written in Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, as I said before, that's the entirety of the Old Testament. The Hebrews divide the Old Testament into three sections. All three sections of the Old Testament, Jesus says, are pointing to me, fulfilled in me. Or John 5, verse 39 puts it this way: "You read the Scriptures," speaking to his opponents, "but what you fail to see is that the Scriptures bear witness to me." If you take Jesus Christ out of the picture, if you try to read the Bible without Jesus, seeing how it's pointing to Jesus and fulfilled by Jesus, then you've missed the central focus. That golden thread that holds everything together is cut, and the picture fades out of focus. So now that we've seen that in the past, God has spoken in various times, various ways and manners, and to various people and in various places, we come to our second point, which is the content. The Bible is all about Jesus, and therefore the Bible is all gospel. Sometimes you make a distinction between the law and the gospel, and if you remember our sermon from 3 weeks back, when we looked at the law, that's question and answer three. Where do you come to know your sin and misery from? The law of God tells us. It exposes our need for a Savior. That's Lord's Days 2 through 4, the first section of the Catechism. Now we come to the question of, from where do we know the good news? From where do we know the identity of the Savior who delivers us, who redeems us, who ransoms us from the grave? And the answer to that question is the gospel. It's the gospel that tells us how we can be saved, how we are delivered. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, as Ephesians 2 puts it. So in saying, as question and answer 19 says, that the gospel is found throughout all the pages of Scripture, it makes it evident to us that the content of the good news is found in all of the pages of the Scriptures. So you can read Genesis, and you can read about how you are saved from your sins. You can read the book of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and the Psalms, and even Song of Solomon, and you can find Jesus Christ, who is telling you how you are saved from your sins and the blessings that you have of life in Christ. So what then is this gospel? The gospel is all about a battle. The gospel is all about a battle. It's a battle between good and evil where Jesus Christ wins and crushes the head of the serpent. The gospel is all about deliverance. How we were in slavery and those chains have been broken. The gospel is all about a marriage, as we saw this morning. It's an adulterous wife who is ransomed and brought back, washed, sanctified, purified, and reconciled to her husband. So what is the Bible about? What's the gospel in summary? Well, you can find it in three words. This is Titus chapter 3. He saves us. Earlier I said, you want to have a short summary of what the entirety of the Bible is about? 66 books condensed to one sentence? Jesus Christ saves us from our sins for the glory of God the Father. I'll say that again. Jesus Christ saves us from our sins for the glory of God the Father. That's really the summary of the entire Bible. We read that earlier in Luke 24. It said the law of Moses, the Psalms, prophets, they're all about me. Remember what we read back in question and answer 18. That is the mediator. The mediator who delivers man from his sins. That's Jesus Christ our Lord. Where do we read about the mediator? In the gospel. Question and answer 19. So if you boil the gospel down, it's revealing two things to us. It's revealing a message and it's revealing a person. What is the message of the good news? Well, this is the message of the good news. I'm going to use Judges 2, verse 23. The message of the good news is this. Judges 2, that's when Gideon sees the angel of the Lord. He's confronted by his sin. He thinks he's going to die. I've seen God. I'm going to die. What does the Lord say to him? Peace. Do not fear. You will not die. That's the good news. Or Psalm 103. We're born guilty and polluted, stained in our sins, yet God heals us, He forgives us, He redeems us, He crowns us. He's merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love, taking our sins from us and casting them into the depths of the sea, removing them as far as the east is from the west. That's the message of the gospel. Jesus saves. But it's not only a message, it's a person. In Hebrews 1 verse 2, we found that in the last days, God speaks to us by way of His Son. But we can even take a step further in saying the gospel is not only about Jesus Christ, the gospel is spoken, is the word of Christ to us. It's not only a message about what Christ will do, but it's revealing a person. Jesus Christ is the chosen mouthpiece of God. He is the one to whom the gospel is fulfilled. Genesis 3, that's the mother promise after the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, speaks of a seed, a child, a male child who will be born to the woman who would crush the head of the serpent. Or Daniel 2, that's the vision that Daniel received of a rock that is cut out of a mountain and smashes the kingdoms of men and then grows and covers until it is established and spreads and covers the whole world. That's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So the gospel is not only a message, it is about the messenger. It's not only a content, it is about what Christ is doing, His person and His work. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ, as John 1 verse 17 says. We do not come to know this good news by our own reflection. We do not come to know this good news by meditating upon ourselves. We do not come to know the good news by reading the wisdom of man. The identity of the Savior is not found in the horoscopes. It's not found in the stars. It's not found in the seeking after the pleasures of this world. It's found, our only hope, is found in the gospel, which is the word of our Lord. Well, now that we understand the content of the gospel, in our final point, we're going to be looking at the comfort that we receive from this gospel. Remember that the catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism, is called the Book of Comfort. Question and answer one talks about your only comfort. That theme of comfort runs through the catechism. There are three chief comforts that we receive because we know the gospel. The first comfort, on the first level, is that knowing the gospel means that we can know how we might be saved. We are set free from our sin because Jesus is sufficient. Our deliverance, our eternal joy, our happiness does not depend on our work. It's not dependent on our ability. It's not something that we have to secure. It's dependent on Christ alone, and He is more than sufficient. That's why we can have this firm foundation of lasting comfort and even assurance. So the first comfort is knowing that sin and death have been defeated. The second benefit or second comfort we receive is from the fact that God is not silent. Some have claimed, as I said before, that God is silent. He cannot be known because He does not speak. And that simply is not true. We have comfort because God speaks. He comes to us. As we found with Hosea, He goes to us and loves us. We have a reliable, trustworthy source. Man lies. Humans lie. But God does not lie. And if God tells you how you can be saved, it is trustworthy. That's comforting. And the third comfort we know is because God does not lie, He keeps His promises. He is not only the covenant-making, He's the covenant-keeping God. We have comfort in knowing that God's promises find their yes and their amen in Jesus Christ. So when God promises us in His Word that I will forgive your sins, that if you trust, if you confess, if you depend on Jesus Christ, if you look to Him alone for your salvation, you will be saved. That is comforting because it is the Word of God, trustworthy, and because God does not lie and His promises will be carried out. So whatever God has promised to us in His Word, these promises do not fall flat because Jesus Christ is the yes and the amen. So those who trust and confess Christ will surely be saved. And even though we die, we lay our bodies in the grave to sleep when Christ comes back, those bodies will not be forgotten. They too will be caught up and to enjoy the blessings of life and life everlasting. This is the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace and the gospel of comfort. To conclude, understanding the beauty of the gospel, the beauty of the message and the messenger, that there's a good news in content and in person. That's why we gather together every week. As Paul says of this, he put it this way, we preach Christ crucified. Every week, when you come to church to hear the message of the gospel proclaimed, it's good news because it reveals Jesus Christ. The good news is not the ability of your pastor or his inability, if he stumbles over his words, if he gets tongue-tied. It's not in my human reasoning or wisdom that you find your comfort. It's comfort in knowing Christ and hearing about His work. Or as the Greeks said to Philip, I love this, this is in Acts. The Greeks came up to Philip and said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." That's why you're here. You want to hear the voice of Jesus. And that's what the gospel is. It's the good news from the voice of our loving Savior. Coming to church, reading the Bible, these are opportunities to learn more about the good news as you marvel in Jesus Christ, our good Savior. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this encouraging, comforting truth that there is a God who saves, that You save us, that Jesus saves, that we are not left to our own devices, but that You have come to us lost sinners and have given us a message of hope and have given us a Savior who delivers, ransoms, and redeems. May our hearts be filled with joy as we meditate upon the comfort of the good news as we have heard the gospel today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.